but they adopt championship mindset in everything that they do, in the weight room, in the classroom, on the field. She's constantly reminding them of what a champion is and how a champion practices, how a championship team looks. Hey, I'm Ashley Agle. Some of you might know me as Ashley Burkhart, and I'm a former D1 and professional softball player who spent a few years coaching in the college game before deciding to put all of my focus into youth softball players and helping them make their dreams and their goals happen for them. It's our job to help them unleash their potential and become the athletes they've always dreamt of. I come from a small city in the Midwest and didn't let that stop me from making my goal of playing D1 softball a reality. No matter where you live, you have the tools to help you thrive, and I am hoping through this podcast to help you get there. On this podcast, you'll learn from Olympians, Hall of Fame coaches, and elite players what their journeys have been like, and you'll also learn from me and my family a bit of our journey through the game. I'm so excited to have you here, so whip out your notebook and let's learn how we can grow in this game together. Welcome to When the Cleats Come Off. Friends, welcome back to When the Cleats Come Off. This is one of the most exciting weeks in the entire season, in the entire year. And if you're listening live, you know why. Because the Women's College World Series starts, if you're listening the day this was released, tomorrow. And I have absolutely been glued to my television. It's a good time to have a newborn to sleep on your chest. And apparently on Twitter and Facebook, I'm unhinged and I can't shut up on there, as some of you guys know. But this has been, I'm going to say it, the most exciting postseason I've seen in years. Can anyone agree with me? It feels like it's anyone's game this year, and just about any of these teams could win the whole thing. And that is the most exciting part. No offense to Oklahoma. I love Oklahoma. If you've listened to previous episodes, I have mad respect for Oklahoma. But I think what's so exciting is that they're not guaranteed to win. And it would be crazy if they did. But I am just so excited for this postseason because it's anyone's game. So I thought it'd be kind of fun that I could share some lessons that I've learned from each one of the teams who have made it into the Women's College World Series. It was hard to choose only one lesson from each team, but I did my best to break down my favorite lessons from each one. And yes, on some of them, I share more than one, but I thought it would be kind of neat because maybe some of these things are pieces of the game that maybe you don't see or didn't hear about. There are some really cool stories behind some of these. And man, we've seen so much grit from so many teams. And I'm excited to share some lessons that we all can learn, whether you're a parent, player, or a coach especially. These are some lessons that I think we all can absorb and make ourselves better, frankly. So grab your notebook and let's get into this episode. All right, in no particular order, literally, there is no order here. I'm starting with Texas Tech, but I'm going to say the lesson here is you are only as good as your preparation. So if you guys heard Jerry Glasgow, he traveled in his car with his pitching machines to help his team be prepared for pitches that they're going to see from the pitchers that they were facing. And some of you will call him crazy, but I'm pretty sure it's the crazy people that are making the biggest steps, period. So I think that Jerry Glasgow is a perfect example of we need to be prepared if we expect to win. And it's like the little things, you know, he has special machines that cost a lot of money that can, you know, make pitches even harder than what you're going to see. Like if they're going to see Monica Abbott, who's not even pitching in college anymore, Carlin Pickens is the closest they're going to see at Tennessee, and they know her rise ball moves, you know, a certain way, they're going to set up that machine to make the rise ball even harder so that the rise ball that they see this weekend is easier than what they've been preparing for. So do you think Jerry Glasgow is going to be traveling with his machines to the Women's College World Series? I'd bet your bottom dollar. So you're only as good as your preparation. And also, can we just talk about Nyjah Kennedy? Nyjah Kennedy is back in the Women's College World Series, not with Stanford, but with Texas Tech, bringing Texas Tech to their first Women's College World Series ever. But I also want to mention here that you can't win with just an elite pitcher. She is arguably one of the best pitchers. I don't even think that's arguably. She's probably the best pitcher, I'm just going to say it, in college softball right now. She is so fun to watch, but you can't win with just one pitcher. Their entire team from top to bottom is clutch, and they are playing so well behind her, and I think it's just so fun. And she's even hitting for herself, which is rad and awesome. And also, if you haven't seen, Patrick Mahomes is backing them. He was literally caught shooting a commercial, and that was during the final game with Texas Tech in the Supers. And he was literally watching pitch by pitch, and he's like, let's go, so excited. Like, it was like a behind the scenes thing. Go on Twitter, you can find it there. I think I retweeted it. So if you go to my Twitter, you can find it. But it's been so fun to watch them, and how fun that Patrick Mahomes is literally backing them. So if this team continues to hit behind Nigeri Kanady, I can see them in the finals and potentially winning it all. So starting off with a bang with Texas Tech. All right, let's go to UCLA. I loved when they made their massive comeback to take it to a game three in Supers. They literally had their backs against the wall. I think it was two outs. I think they scored their first run with one out, but they ended up having two outs, and they were down by, I think it was two runs, and they came back, and they won on a walk-off home run. And afterwards, their head coach, Kelly Inouye Perez, was caught saying, I tell this team all the time, if we have one pitch left, we have an opportunity. And all you need is one pitch. This is the lesson that I want us to take away from UCLA. All you need is one pitch. If your back's against the wall, you can be down by five runs, 10 runs, in their case, three runs. All you need is one pitch. And if you can lock in and be completely present with that one pitch, whether you're on defense, offense, whatever, you can win a ball game. And, you know, everybody talks about Bruin Magic. Jen Tro, my girl, always talks about Bruin Magic. It's real. And it is very evident that they have this Bruin Magic, because if they believe in their abilities, if they lock in one pitch at a time, they can do anything. And, you know, they didn't start this season off hot, but they are getting very hot at the right time. So you can't count out UCLA. You can't. All you need is one pitch. Okay, let's talk about the craziest entry into the Women's College World Series, Ole Miss. Okay, some people slept on Ole Miss. I slept on Ole Miss. Part of me really wanted Bree Ellis to win and make it to a Women's College World Series, especially her senior season. I was heartbroken that she didn't. But Ole Miss, of course, their opponent, they don't care, right? But they are fueled on doubt. Everybody that I've seen talking about Ole Miss from the team, they keep saying, why not us? Why not us? And this is the lesson that we can take from them. If you believe wholeheartedly that you can win games from top to bottom in the lineup, and it sounds like their entire team is all in, you can't count yourselves out, right? Why not us? They are fueled on doubt. Everybody doubted them. And what's kind of funny and interesting is that, yes, a lot of us were rooting for Arkansas, but I think it was because of Bree Ellis and the hype around her that they created this narrative that everybody's doubting us. I don't think I was doubting them. I think I was just really rooting for Bree. But they took the narrative of everybody's doubting us, so we're going to go prove them wrong. And if you guys watched, and I know I've talked about this a million times on the podcast, but the Last Dance documentary, it's a huge documentary about the Bulls and Michael Jordan. And I freaking love this documentary because as a person who loves the psychology of sport, they talk about what made Jordan great. And one of those things was literally being able to create a narrative that doesn't even exist, but in his head it exists, and it fuels him to just absolutely dominate and become a fierce, unstoppable competitor on the court. And doubt was one of those things. So he would pretend like people were doubting him, or he would pretend like the other team's talking smack, and like he would take it personally, even though it wasn't even real. And I think Ole Miss kind of took a little piece of that playbook, and they are locked in on that narrative of why not us. I think they're looking at themselves as, we deserve a seat at the table. Watch us compete. And they showed us in Supers that they can do it. So that narrative got them to beat Arkansas. And who knows who they're going to beat in the Women's College World Series. But I love them based on what I'm seeing. And I love a lot of these teams. But I think what's really cool is we can learn that, you know, as long as you believe in yourself, you go all in on what you can do, who cares what anybody else can do? So they're betting on themselves. We'll see the run that they make. All right, next team, Tennessee. So yes, I have to pick on, wow, pun intended, on Karlyn Pickens, because I love that not only has she beaten the fastest pitch by a college pitcher ever, which was ironically a former Tennessee Vol as well, Monica Abbott. She broke the record earlier this year, and literally they were playing against Nebraska and she broke the record again by a whole nother mile per hour plus. And she's been interviewed both times about this. And what's key here is that she does not care. I mean, yes, it's really cool. She accepts it. It's great. But she cares more about pitching and getting wins for her team, getting outs for her team, helping her team win. And she's like, yeah, that's great and all, but you know, we won the game. That's what matters most. And I love this. So the lesson that we can take is, yes, we work so hard to achieve greatness, but the key is, can we not work to just achieve the number? Can we work to compete our freaking butts off? And when you do that, when you're a part of the process, when you're there to win, when you're there to compete, records will be broken. And I say this as someone who has broken a record at Purdue University. Did I know that I had the record for the most steals in a game when I did it? Absolutely not. I was told afterwards. And at the end of the day, it comes from being aggressive. It comes from trying to score runs for my team. It comes from making the defense look silly or seeing things that other people don't see. So again, I was present. I was competitive on the bases, and that allowed me to break a record. And I think Karlyn Pickens is the same way. And I just want to note here that on the pitch that she recorded, I think it was 79.4 miles an hour. Absolutely insane. It was against Jordy Ball. And I don't think that's just a happenstance. Jordy Ball is one of the most competitive hitters in the game. Ironically, she never really hit at Oklahoma, but she's a competitor on both sides of the ball. I've talked about Jordy many times, but she is a unicorn. And sometimes when you face someone who is elite, like very elite at what they do, and you're also a super big competitor and want to go beat that person, you may rise to the occasion. And I think it's the reason why she broke the record was because she was facing someone that she really wanted to beat, like more than anybody in that lineup. Because Jordy Ball can change a game with one swing. She's hit many, many home runs this year. That's why she's up for National Player of the Year, because she can work on both sides of the ball extremely well. So I find it crazy that she pitched it against Jordy. And everybody else, I think Haley McClenney was caught saying, did you guys notice that Jordy Ball actually fouled the ball off? She's like, how did Jordy foul the ball off? And this is coming from Haley McClenney, who played in literally an Olympics. So I think it's awesome that she did that. Again, these things, and this is the lesson that we can take from it, it's you're going to find yourself breaking records, winning championships, doing all these great things when you're so focused on the process and competing and trying to get outs for your team or trying to just compete for your team. So live in the moment, compete for your team. Let's be like Karlyn Pickens. And I think that they're going to make a great run if she continues to throw the way she's throwing. So shout out to her. She pitched 3 games. Insane. She's very effective. I can't wait to see what they do. All right, sticking with an orange team, let's go to the burnt orange Texas Longhorns. All right, so this lesson that I pulled from them is they have a lot to prove. Okay, so if you've ever come so close to greatness, so close to a championship and having your heart broken, sometimes that is enough fuel for you to go off and make the next opportunity one that you will dominate. So last year they had a heartbreaking loss to Oklahoma. Oklahoma won their fourth natty in a row, insane. And Texas had to go watch them win, watch them celebrate, watch them win. And they, I think the way I see Texas play, they're probably taking it personally. And they have some seniors that want it. Like, they were heartbroken last year. They are not going out without a fight. And there's something to be said about a team who was on the field watching, you know, another team find that win. I've seen so many teams in the past like come back and it's the team that lost the year before that ends up winning. And I think it's because you walk in saying, we got a lot to prove. We were heartbroken last year. We were so close to the Natty, and this is the year we're going to do it. And, you know, honestly, if I were Texas, I would be playing, and I've heard of other teams that do this all year, especially I think I've heard of it in the NFL, MLB. They literally have a sign on in their locker room or wherever the team is often of like the other team or like a picture of the other team, you know, celebrating their national championship. And every time you see it, it'd probably grind your gears, right? But if I see that in the weight room, I'm going to push so much harder in the weight room. If I see that before I'm about to go practice, I'm going to push so much harder in practice. So knowing Texas, I feel like they're taking a little bit of that mentality. And I know they took that loss personal. And I think this is going to be one heck of a run for them because they have things to prove. They have unfinished business to go attend to. So if anyone has their eyes on the prize, which I know they all do, but if anybody really has their eyes on a prize, I think it's Texas. All right, we got a few more. Oklahoma. Easy to talk about, right? Easy to talk about. This was not the same year. I mean, I think every year has been a different challenge for Oklahoma. But this is the year where they have a young team. Very young. They have freshmen starting. That doesn't happen a lot, especially when you're that elite of a team. But I think this lesson is easy. We've talked about it before. When JT Gasso came on the podcast, he was my first interview, by the way. Go check it out if you haven't heard it. Championship mindset. If you haven't heard of what the championship mindset is, I looked up what Patty Gasso said a few years back on what it is. She goes, the championship mindset is not so much about winning games. It's a way to live. It's a way to train. And it's a way to treat people. So they're constantly reminding themselves of what do champions do? And I mean, they have a few people on the roster that have won a championship before. Patty Gasso has obviously won many, but they are the epitome of that championship mindset. Like what they do when they train. Patty Gasso, they practice hard. They practice very hard. I mean, I think all of these teams do, but clearly like their system works. They've proven it. And, you know, she's instilling this championship mindset on the field, off the field. I want to say and everywhere else, but I think that those are the only two places you can be, on the field or off the field. But they adopt championship mindset in everything that they do, in the weight room, in the classroom, on the field. She's constantly reminding them of what a champion is and how a championship practices, how a championship team looks. Right. And she was also quoted this year, and I've never heard her say this, saying, we're not good enough. And it was when they had some controversial losses earlier in the year, where literally they were number one 1 week and then they weren't. And then they were number one again and then they weren't because they lost some games they, quote unquote, shouldn't have lost. But Patty Gasso said, we're not good enough. And, you know, I think what's really cool about that is that they don't think they're I don't want to say they don't think they're better than everybody else, because a champion does think that they're better than everybody else when they're on the field competing. But they're not worried about what we're thinking of them. And I think this is another key lesson. A lot of people hate Oklahoma. Like, shoot, if you look at Twitter, there are some Oklahoma fans, and they know it too, that are pretty brutal, right? They're pretty mean. And it's because they believe in this team so much. But a lot of people hate Oklahoma. And I think what they've been able to do well is flip that narrative. They could care less if we hate them. They're after a national championship like they are every year. And they are so focused on themselves that I don't think they hear the outside noise ever. They're so focused on, you know, what's the message from coach? Let's live it out. Let's focus on ourselves. And I think they've always been great at that. And I think that's why they're back in another chance for a Women's College World Series championship. So Can you count Oklahoma out? Absolutely not. Jen Schroeder was quoted on Twitter recently saying, "The one thing I know about a Patty Gasso team is that they are never out of the fight." And I don't think this year is any different. So will they have their backs against the wall a little bit more? Yes. Is there a target on their back? Absolutely. Everybody's trying to strip this fifth national championship from them. They got a huge target on their back. They always have, really, since I can remember. But this will be fun to see how they manage that, especially with a young team. So, championship mindset. I think we all can learn a little bit from it. All right, we got two more. Florida. I think it's important for a team to have the whole package. Okay, so if you're going to train a team, it's important to be good at every aspect, right? I know Florida a little bit more personally than some because one of my teammates was Lauren Hager. I've learned a lot about Tim Walton and how she's really helped her, not just with her confidence, but, you know, learning the little intricacies of how to be a great pitcher, how to be a great hitter, which she was one of the best to do it behind both sides of the ball, just like Jordy, just like Nyjah. And what I see in this team is that they have literally the whole package. They have power. I don't know their ranking. I probably should have looked this up before this, but they definitely lead the nation in a lot of power rankings from home runs. They got some massive power. Speed, they've always had speed. They're so fun to watch on the bases. So fun. Their outfield, are you kidding? So literally, Kendra Falby is like one of my favorite outfielders to ever watch. And talk about speed, talk about energy. We'll get to that in a second. But their defense is solid. They make mistakes, you know, every once in a while, but their defense is solid. And their pitching is also solid. They have a staff. So personally, I have Florida favored to win it all. I think after I had my conversation with Justin McLeod on the podcast earlier this year, which I highly recommend you listen. He has some crazy awesome predictions. And when I say they're awesome, like he has a lot of things in this postseason lined up that way we talked about it months ago. It's pretty cool to see like how it's, you know, manifested. But I have them favored to win it all because they have the whole package. So if you are a coach training a team, how can you be good in every aspect of the game? I don't know. Let's pick it up from Florida. Let's watch how they play because they're good at everything. I do want to mention here too, this past weekend, I had Amanda Lorenz, who's about to go play in her, I think she said seventh professional season, crazy, very soon with AUSL. But she was our May guest in the Virtual Hitting Academy. Every week or every month, I try to bring in a guest. And we talked about the Florida team. I was like, this would be kind of cool if we can talk about, you know, some of the big players on the team. Obviously, they have NFCA Freshman of the Year. If you haven't seen Taylor Shoemaker, incredible power. We talked about that. She's a freshman, obviously. And man, she has made her statement known. There, I think this team has like the most known players, I should say, because you have also Keegan Rothrock, who is an incredible pitcher. As a freshman last year, she made her statements. And now that she's healthy, she's fun to play with. And what I had Amanda do was talk about each one of these players that I had listed. Again, I didn't list the whole team, but some of the big ones. And she was like, Keegan Rothrock, super easy to play behind. Her energy is infectious. Like, she is game mode always, and she makes everybody behind her want to get outs for her. Kendra Falby, mentioned her earlier. She's like, she's the best center fielder alive. I would love to ask Haley McClenny that, but I think she would say the same. She has had so many ESPN like robberies in center field. She's super fast. And she also, like Amanda says, has super high energy. Energy matters. And you're going to learn that with this next team that I talk about. But energy is so infectious. Kendra Falby has it. She makes a great play. Energy's wild. The next inning, it's not surprising that they go off because their energy is high from that momentum. She does the same thing on the bases. So Kendra Falby, keep doing what you're doing, girl. Love watching you play. Amanda also talks about Jocelyn Erickson. Huge fan of her ever since she transferred from OU. She made a statement last year, no doubt. And Amanda described her as having quiet confidence. And I think that's so cool to look at, because I think a lot of people think confidence means you have to be loud, and that's not the case. If you watch Jocelyn behind the plate, she's quiet, but she makes good decisions. She's loud and she needs to be. Obviously, she's a catcher. She needs to be loud. But she's so fun to watch because of that quiet confidence. And then I asked her about Corby Otis, who's going to be playing professionally after the season as well. And she called her gritty. And talk about a player who just wants it. How fun, too, that when she was drafted, that same day she was drafted to play professional softball, she had the game-winning hit. I don't remember who it was against, but how freaking cool that she walked off, game-winning hit, and then, boom, she gets drafted right after that. Picture-perfect moment. But anyway, that was so fun to do with Amanda. But that's what we can look at with some of these players. Like, if you have a favorite player on any of these teams, let's watch them like a hawk. I know I only gave examples of Florida players basically with these, but every player that's there, if we watch them and we watch how they play the game, and let's say you're a pitcher and you love watching, let's say, Carlin Pickens, and you're seeing, you know, how does she react when she gets a bad or a call that didn't go her way? How does she react when someone hits a home run off of her? How does she react when she gets a strikeout? You know, like, if you can find a player out there, and I guarantee you there's at least one within all eight of these teams that kind of plays the game the way you want to play the game, you better be, I almost said T-bowing. That's not a thing. You better be recording every game they play. You better be watching everything that you can watch. And I'm just going to say it out loud. If you're going to the Women's College World Series, you can see the things that we can't see on TV. That's the dream. This is why I love talking to some of the analysts of games, like Amanda Scarborough, Daniel Laurie. I love seeing what or hearing about what they see that we don't see. They're doing interviews right now with coaches and players. They're going to see things that we don't see. So I think what's super fun too, and I'm going on a tangent here, but you know, when you can watch in-game interviews from coaches or post-game interviews from coaches and players, you can learn things about them that, you know, are hidden gems that we don't get to see on the field that we can learn and adopt as fans of the game, as players of the game, as coaches of the game. We can get so much better with those things. So watch these players, watch these coaches as well, coaches, like a hawk. Watch these parents. If you're a parent and you're watching parents in the stands, what are they doing? What are they saying? Ugh, I get so giddy thinking about how excited I am for this weekend. Also, side note, I know I talked about Amanda being our guest for May, but if you want to be a part of EHA and see who's going to be our guest next month and also do our weekly workshops where we do mental skills and we hit, and I mean, this is the time to join if you haven't yet, and it's as low as $17 a month. Like, I don't want to make it a ton because I want you to have, you know, you get literally every single recording from past guests on the show. You get recordings of each workshop that we do. So past guests that we've had are Skylar Wallace, Sam Fisher, Monica Abbott, Kat Osterman, Hannah Huseman, who's a mental skills coach. Literally, she coached in the MLB. Like, I try to get the best of the best on, and there's so many great lessons that you can learn from just the archives. And then you get to meet some of these people in person, ask them questions that you have. Like, the questions that you guys had, I'm saying you guys as the athletes who are in BHA, that they had for Amanda, were so good this month. And I'll try to share that actually within my social media content of some of her answers, because they were fire. But if you want to join us, now's the time. Like, get your hitting game where you want it to be before the most important games of the season this summer. I'm going to put the link in the show notes for you to just check out BHA and see if it's for you. But it's one of my favorite things that I do. So check it out if you're interested. I'm excited to be teaching some lessons in the season that you're in, aka going into summer ball. We try to make it relevant for every part of the year. So if this is the time where you want to join, I'll see you on the inside. All right. Last but not least, certainly, is Oregon. And you know how I mentioned energy from Kendra Falby? I think the Oregon team has insane energy from the fans, the coaches, to the players. In Justin and I's episode, we talked about Lindsey Grine a lot. And, you know, this is episode 214, by the way. She is so fun to watch. Like, when she is on, this team is unstoppable. She brings the energy. Like, when she has a strikeout to end an inning, you see it. You see it. She's jumping. She's literally high-fiving teammates, screaming. Like, dude, I want to be on the field with her. So this team has energy. They are animated when they make great plays. They're animated when they make strikeouts. And again, a lot of these teams have this too, but I saw the most energy from Oregon. It is infectious to have this type of energy. And when the biggest lights are about to be bright, I feel like this is a team that could thrive with that. So let's look out for Missy Lombardi's team, who, congrats Missy and her staff. This is her first Women's College World Series leading the Oregon Ducks. And if you guys know Missy Lombardi's name, she has won multiple national titles underneath Patty Gasso at Oklahoma as their pitching coach. And now this is her first time taking a team there. So I personally am stoked for Missy because I've met her. I've worked with her at some of their OU camps in the past. And I'm just stoked for them. So, you know, this is her time to shine. She has learned so much under Patty Gasso. So it'll be so fun to see them. I'm so excited to see who fights off against each other. If you guys want to see when games are, where you can watch, go to NCAA Softball on Twitter. And they have literally every single game posted along with the times and where you can find it. And just know, like, when they say it's going to be on ESPNU, it could easily be changed to ESPN, like the main ESPN or the other platform. So just make sure you're always looking at either the NCAA Twitter or a specific team that you want to watch. Like, if I want to watch Oregon play, I'm going to go to their Twitter. I'm going to see where I can find them. And you can do that with any team. So what did I miss? All right. I know I missed a lot of things, and I know you guys have probably more opinions on each team. And this is where I think we can have a great conversation in the When the Cleats Come Off community on Facebook. If you haven't seen it yet, just type in When the Cleats Come Off community inside of Facebook. You'll find us. And yes, I have to accept you to bring you in because I don't want anybody to join because sometimes we get those hackers on Facebook. I don't want any part of that. But that link is in the show notes as well if you want the direct link to the When the Cleats Come Off community. Let's talk more softball. It's my favorite topic. And lastly, make sure to check out some of the old episodes that we've had about the World Series. One of them is How Can You Build Your IQ While Watching the Women's College World Series? Highly recommend athletes go listen. It was one of my first episodes, episode 91. I say that's one of my first, but we are well into the 200s now. Episode 91 is where you can find that one. Not that you need a reason to, but I give you five reasons why you have to watch softball this weekend in episode 168. So if you're having trouble convincing your daughter to go watch, maybe have her listen to this or you listen to it and then relay the message. And then, like I mentioned earlier, Justin and I break down postseason predictions. And again, he's on the money on a few of these. Episode 214 is where you can find that one. And I have a couple more linked in the show notes as well. So just click to the show notes and you can have a direct link to all of those. Man, I love this field. I love the field that is going to be playing. I have love for all of the teams. And as you could probably hear, I have some favorites, but I can't wait to see how this plays out. I will be all over Twitter, all over Facebook, sharing my opinions all weekend. I have no plans other than watch softball. So let's go. And this year is anyone's game. So let's keep hanging out on social platforms. I want to talk the game with you. We had some really good conversations on Facebook last time. You can also find that link to the Ashley Burkhart trading page in the show notes as well. Let's hang out and watch and talk softball together. I could cry. I'm so excited. And if you're listening to this after the Women's College World Series, I'm sorry, but I'm not sorry because that means you have seen the entire outcome. And hopefully this episode just got you even more excited to rewatch it. Or you're just so excited to keep following softball that you're now watching on ESPN platforms. AUSL is playing, which is the new professional softball league in the U.S. So thanks again for listening to this episode. If you loved it, you know where to share it on any platform. If you see us posting about it, go ahead and share it with a friend. That's the best way you can support me and this podcast and to help us grow. And also, if you haven't already, subscribe to the podcast so you can be the first to listen to new episodes. And thanks to you who have written some recent reviews on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. I love reading them. I just found some new ones and you totally made my day when I read them. So you can write a review on Apple Podcasts and I think maybe Spotify. I'm not quite sure, but you can at least leave a star rating, which is awesome to see too. But thanks again for listening to another episode of When the Cleats Come Off. I will see you same time, same place next week. And don't forget to stay awkward, stay humble, and keep smiling. Go softball.